In the name of Jesus, AAA released their report now for the Christmas season, and I believe on Christmas Day, if I heard on the radio correctly, I didn't verify it by going on my smartphone or pad or anything, it was like 8 million people traveling just on Christmas Day alone, which is a lot when you start to think about it. And they talked about the price of gas going up a little bit, but you know how our minds start to wonder when we hear something on the radio or see something on the TV or read something in a magazine. And that began to get me thinking about all the different trips that I've taken in my life, especially with family. Trips, for example, as we go home to Kansas City to see our family, usually at Thanksgiving, and as we'll leave here probably the day after Christmas to make another quick trip back and forth. And as I started thinking about all those trips, I started thinking about all the times that the kids yell from the back seat, "I have to go pee! Quickly! Find an exit!" Or, "I'm hungry!" Or, "Are we there yet?" Or the times where you make plans to stop somewhere and you're too busy jamming out to the radio, singing along to your favorite Taylor Swift song or whoever you listen to, and you miss your exit. Have you done that before? And it just flies right by. Or you're talking on your phone, hopefully by speakerphone and not sitting there doing this while you're driving, and you totally miss where you're supposed to get off and where you're supposed to go. I don't know about you, but all of those things I just mentioned have happened a lot to me. And we'll just leave it at that. We won't talk about the rest of the family. Life's a highway, as the popular rock song goes. And here today in our text, we are introduced once again to this crazy man who seems to be on a highway all of his own, John the Baptist. John the Baptist, who did not wear soft clothes. John the Baptist, who wore clothes made of camel's hair, which is very scratchy. If you've ever ridden one at the zoo or taken your kids and paid the $5 or $10 for them to ride on a little camel that goes in a circle, have you ever done that? I did that. It wasn't really exciting. They don't move very fast. The camel, rough hair, and he would eat wild honey and oats. John, this kind of crazy figure, and the amazing thing was the attraction to John was probably a little bit of the fact that he was this crazy figure. And he lived out in the wilderness outside the city, and people literally would go out to see him like they're going to see some two-headed dog or something like that. But at the same time, John wasn't just unusual in the way he dressed and where he lived and what he ate. He was unusual because of what he preached. And as he preached, people became convicted by the very word of God itself. So much so that they would now be, as John preached, baptized. Baptized for repentance. Baptized because there was someone who was yet to come. There was an exit, if you will, that awaited down the road on the highway, and that exit, that person, was the Messiah. John was given to us for this very reason, to prepare the way for the Messiah. But here now we have, as we do with all road trips, a little bit of a twist and a turn, something unexpected, something not planned for, whether it's an exit missed, whether it's a car that overheats, a tire that blows out, whether it's kids that have to stop every half an hour, or whatever it is. John is arrested. He's arrested because he's been preaching the word. He's been preaching and identifying what sin is. Specifically, if you read the story, you find out that John called out the sin of adultery, the sixth commandment. And he did it to those that were in power, the king's family. And so John is then arrested for hate speech, if you will, for speaking the word of God, for speaking what sin is. John is not judging them. John is simply speaking the word of God, which is what Christians are called to do. Long story short, John gets arrested, thrown into prison, The punishment for his treason, his insurrection, is pretty much beheading, which is what he's waiting for. And as he is there in prison, dealing with this more than minor bump in the road in the midst of his travel plans, he hears about the deeds of the Christ. He hears and begins to now think about this Jesus. And to keep in mind, John the Baptist baptized Jesus earlier, right? And you would think that there is enough evidence there when they talk, when they meet, that John the Baptist would be firm in his faith, that he would keep the pedal to the metal and keep on cranking right down the highway, which you would think is what every Christian is supposed to do, right? You just keep on keeping on. You keep making the right decisions. You don't screw up. You stick with your plans. But life doesn't work that way, does it? It doesn't work that way. Life is full of all sorts of bumps in our proverbial road, all sorts of problems. Life is full of others that God has placed around us that we are called to love and care for as much as it may annoy us. Children, friends, family, bad drivers. You know what I mean. So the highway that you are on is really no different than the highway John is on, because the highway that we are born onto and placed into is literally a highway. Well, I think AC/DC got this right. It's a highway to hell. It's a highway of sin. Because this is not the way God had originally planned and made everything, but as we've talked about the last couple of weeks, because of sin, it now has changed every single trip that we will take, but most especially our trip called life. You see, John the Baptist does have faith. There's no question of that. And he's seen Jesus face to face. But at the same time, what resides with faith? Well, sin. It's the same thing that resides with you, in your body and in your mind. On the one hand, you are a precious saint of God. You've been washed and cleansed by the blood of Christ. You've been robed with His righteousness in the waters of holy baptism, and you've received regularly and often His holy meal, His very body and blood given for you for the forgiveness of sins. You've heard this word read to you, preached to you. You've received the absolution. You've talked about it in your homes. You've had prayers in the morning when you get up and when you go to bed at night, and so on and so forth. And these are all good and excellent and wonderful things. But yet you get off this highway, don't you? You doubt. You fear. You have idols, whether they be of money or things or people. And you become so connected to this sinful world that sometimes you take a little detour, which is what sinners do. You see, you're two things at the same time, and this is the most difficult thing for a lot of Christians to understand, that this side of heaven, you will always be both a saint and a sinner at the same time. The question is just, which highway are you going to take? Which exit? Because there are choices in this life. You can choose to recognize your sin and repent of it, or on the other hand, you don't. You're going to continue to suffer consequences of that in this life. You can choose to help somebody who is in need, or you can choose to be selfish and go about your own business. You get it? And so John's languishing in prison facing death, which is difficult for anyone to face. And when John hears in prison about the deeds of Christ, he sends word to his disciples and says, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another? Have I done the job I'm supposed to do? Have I fulfilled that which God has given me? Are you now the fulfillment? Are you the one I've been pointing to all this time and for which I'm getting ready to die for? Or am I supposed to look somewhere else?" The sinner in John and the devil and the world is telling him to look somewhere else. Look somewhere else for hope. Look somewhere else for salvation. Could be a miraculous cure. Could be the Powerball in the lottery. It could be this might happen, that might happen. Could be just pull your boots on and get to work and save yourself. Could be any manner of things to look somewhere else. But look at what Jesus says. Because Jesus responds, which is what Jesus does. When you cry out in the midst of your crazy road trip of life, the Lord hears, first of all. That's the one thing you need to be reminded. He hears your cries. They do not fall on deaf ears. He hears. The first thing Jesus now says is, go and tell John what you hear and see. Go and give him my word. Isn't that amazing? And so the first thing you need to realize is that you have everything you need in the very Word of God, both in the Word in Holy Scripture, but also in the Word of God who has come down to earth for you, the Son of God, Emmanuel, God in the flesh made manifest, who has come to walk this life, who has come to drive on the same highway of sin and death that you've been driving on, but he did not veer off that highway. He did not take all the crazy exits. He didn't have to stop to do this and do that. Jesus went straight on that road to the cross itself. And there upon the cross, he shed his holy precious blood to redeem you and me and John the Baptist, all people, lost and condemned creatures, and to make us now saints, to connect us by his sacrificial offering to the goodness and love of the Most High God. Jesus quotes Isaiah to John and to you. Here is what has been done. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them. John is part of that poor. And boy, he needs the good news preached to him. And Jesus makes sure that happens. And he does that for you too. To preach the good news to you. To provide you to hear this same word. The same word that wow, makes straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be lifted up. Every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground shall become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed for you. Do you get that? There is no road trip that you can take in this life. There are no bumps and exits and breakdowns that the Lord cannot either overcome for you or provide you with the strength to get through. That's the message to John, and that's the message for you. And as a result of knowing that the word of the Lord has come down to earth for you and that he stands for you, you can face even death itself. You can have, in the midst of the most trying and troubling circumstances, that little word that is the theme for our Sunday, joy. Because true joy is built on that which is permanent and certain. It's not the same as fleeting moments of happiness or any other types of situations where you get all the endorphins going. True joy is eternal joy based on the knowledge and assurance that you will be taken care of, that everything will be okay because of Christ, that he has come in the midst of your very real life, in the midst of your crazy schedules and your traveling to and from friends and family and work, in the midst of bickering and squabbles, in the midst of your own mortality, in the midst of a prison that you may find yourself in, of sin in your body or sin in your mind, Christ has come to bring light now to you, to break the darkness, and tell you there is no need to look for another. because here I am, your Savior. May God fill us with such faith and trust in Him that while we are yet sinners, that we may have this true joy and peace that passes all understanding in Him, our Savior. In the name of Jesus. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.